This is the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. I'm Jason Goff, and I'm joined by my teammates Rob Schaefer, Casey Johnson, and our digital content producer, Tony Gill. Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the 2021 All-Star Weekend, day, whatever, night that thing was. Yeah, we'll talk about that and Zach LaVine making his first All-Star berth in game and three-point contest. And we'll also get into the Bulls' second half. A little bit of a preview for you on this episode.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
What's going on?
There we go. Now we have audio.
What's happening?
Now look at that. We're both connecting at the same time, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
What is that? What hat is that? What's your logo there?
It's the Paper Planes Rock Nation logo. Like, yeah. So, Paper Planes, man. Your dreams take you wherever paper planes can go.
I like it.
Yeah.
What's up?
What's Management on? Tony, you're very quiet today. What's going on? In a meeting right now. Oh, okay.
As you guys know, we are already recording. That's fine.
All right. Have,
inside baseball, do we not have Brad on, or is the video done?
That's only on Thursdays, I believe.
Oh, only on Thursdays. Okay. Cool.
Oh, the video is only on Thursday?
I think so. I don't know.
Right. Casey showered for nothing.
No. What's up, boys? I feel like I haven't seen you guys in forever. We haven't had any games in forever, seemingly, and we haven't had anything to talk about besides the All-Star game, which is what we're going to talk about now, which was obviously riveting for everybody, right? I mean, who doesn't love a good All-Star game for the fans with no fans? Yeah, man.
If we didn't get that, I don't know what we would do for the rest of the season. So,
seriously, though, I had a conversation with LeJethro Jenkins and Vincent Goodwill from Yahoo Sports on Clubhouse at halftime about just that. We started talking about the dunk contest, but we got into what this All-Star game and All-Star weekend was and wasn't. I mean, you had all of Atlanta saying, please don't come down here. And then everybody and their mama came down there because money is to be made. There's money to be made, right? Like, we can knock the we can knock the NBA, but we can also knock the party promoters and everybody down there who, you know, is trying to get a buck, trying to make their year, right? These events are baked into a lot of economy, the Super Bowl, the All-Star game. But with the mayor saying, hey, don't bring y'all asses down here, and the NBA saying there will be no league events, it looked weird and it felt weird. Got into the game a little bit, and it kind of, you know, there's moments, right? There's moments where you got the point guards throwing oops to each other. Zach was a part of two of the greatest offensive plays of the night. Just happened that he was the defender when he tried to take the ball from Steph, and Steph was like, all right, I'll just throw it up from the logo without really looking at the basket. And then Giannis's bank shot three-pointer where Zach was like, all right, screw this, man. If this is what we're going to be on. But it was cool. It was cool to see Zach perform. It was cool. I wish he would have got a runway, right? But, you know, didn't get himself a chance to get a breakaway. But it was cool because it was the All-Star vibe. It wasn't the All-Star vibe. And the more that we get closer with this weather and people getting vaccinated and all the other stuff, like, man, I can't wait. And I know everybody can't wait, but damn it, put me at the top of the list. I cannot wait when this shit is over, because this sucks. This weekend was not what it was supposed to be. Thank God for Steph Curry, by the way, because Steph Curry carried this entire weekend. This weekend was a blah. The day or whatever it was lightweight, lukewarm trash. And a lot of guys didn't want to be there, namely LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. You could tell from the way they moved, from the moment that tip-off happened, the day, I mean, yeah, they're ambassadors, LeBron namely, but Kyrie was out there like, all right, screw this. Like, a lot of guys just felt like that because everybody had to bring their own juice. And Chris Webber and Reggie Miller yelling over the broadcast didn't provide as much energy as everybody would have provided being in those stands. So it was all right. But, man, I was looking – I couldn't wait to watch Oprah and Meghan Markle bring down the British royal family. Like, I was like, man, is this game still on? Because I need I need centuries of tradition to be ruined with one-hour special. So, yeah, man, that was my take on the All-Star game, fellas. What'd you guys think?
That's fantastic, Jason. I would say, see, as the – cranky old guy who doesn't really do I'm not a big all-star party guy, so I just look at it obviously from a basketball standpoint. I would say we got spoiled last year because you know the Elam ending only comes into play this just in if it's a close game. I mean, if it's a blowout and you know, team just needs to get to the target score, there's not a lot of drama or suspense or defense being played. Obviously, you had some cool moments with the logo shots from Steph and Lillard, especially Lillard's to end it. And, yeah, it was awesome to see Zach out there running around.
Yeah,
I will say Zach did not really play like I thought he was going to play. He was like driving and dishing. Now, there was seemingly some decent defense being played on Zach, but he just didn't – I don't think he played like as the way I expected him to. I'm not saying he played badly. I just don't think he played the way I expected to. But I thought that All-Star game in Chicago was just so fantastic because of that Elam ending worked and just brought some legit intensity and defense and trying in that fourth quarter. And this one was just still, to me, more of a show all the way through. So, yeah, and then you couple it with the off-the-court stuff that you're talking about, Jason, and it's an All-Star game. It's an exhibition. So that's my take on it. Rob?
I could be the cranky young guy if you guys want.
We're going three out here. Don't listen to this pod if you're having a bad day today. Listen to it later when you're having a good one.
Yeah. I will say I did have fun in the moments that you guys talked about. I thought the skills challenge and the three-point contest, they were fun. A lot of star power in the three-point contest. That was fun. I actually thought the dunk contest, it did what it's supposed to do. Like, this is what the modern dunk contest is, right? It's just – judges throwing darts at the wall and the scores are controversial and people are just kind of complaining about it. Like for how not notorious the contestants were. And I think a lot of people had low expectations. I actually enjoyed that too. What got me cranky was just, it was just dragging on. And that kind of ties in to the reality that we all know exists here, that this was a financially motivated decision to have the game, to have the weekend at all. You see that in the like 6 minute commercial breaks. Like that was, it just dragged at some point. And I mean, Adam Silver even talked about kind of, there's actually more that goes into the financial aspect of this than just the game itself. There's like the social media engagement and they had all these millions of fans voting and all that stuff feeds into the bottom line too. So totally get all that. And, you know, we're just making jokes on it, but yeah, I thought there were flashes of it being entertaining. The Giannis bank three was great. And I actually thought the commentary, which I think I'm sure a lot of people criticized, I thought that was a great moment of commentary because they had just gotten done talking about how, oh my God, he's 15 of 15. Like he's going to be the first player in All-Star history to shoot perfectly on this many attempts. And he goes, and it's Giannis, right? And he's pulling up. He's taking an off the dribble three. I think it was Reggie Miller just goes, no. for it to bank in. I thought that was a great moment. Zach in the first half, he you know, Harden kind of did him dirty on that first alley-oop toss, but he found one from Donovan Mitchell later, got his 13 points, had his couple moments, and that was good to see. Yeah. For the most part, I mean, it was frivolous, to be honest. Like, I think we all agree on that. It had its moments. I was, you know, sitting there, I was having a good time. It was entertaining watching it. When you look at the clock, though, and it's like, oh my God, this has been going on for 5 hours at this point because they tried to back in one night. That got a little exhausting. The third quarter song break, I mean, I don't want to crap on it too much because it was dedicated to frontline workers and those people are heroes and everything like that. But
But you're gonna crap on it.
Right. Shout out to all the essential workers and all, but I don't need to hear a damn song about y'all. Anthony Hamilton, I haven't bought any music from you in a while. You can keep it moving too. Like, I was surprised. Like, wait a minute. I legit was like, is this halftime again? Like, what's happening here? But hey man, they gotta work it in there. I can dig it. Fine. If you're there, you know you're there for what you're there for. Knock yourself out. I could have done without it. I love Anthony Hamilton, but this whole thing I could have done without. And I hate saying that. I hate it. Like, I do. The kid in me, we just talked about this like two pods ago. Like, the kid in me, I still look forward to the All-Star night. I still look, like, I remember when it went to TNT and I was legit like, man, what are the kids who only have NBC, like, you know, back in the day, like I did have, you know what I mean? Like, what are they going to do? But it's cool because the little All-Star moments, like you said, Rob, happen. But for the most part, it's just when the contestants are so cool. Like, this, I mean, it's a microcosm of some of the things that the issues that people have with the league sometimes. Like, there's a lot of dudes that's too cool out there. So nobody really wants to jump into the dunk contest for fear of embarrassment. You know, the three-point contest is far surpassed the dunk contest going on a damn near a decade. Now, we'll have a one-offs where it's Zach and Aaron Gordon, or it's the T-Mac, Vince Carter, Steve Francis one. We'll have those once every 3 or 4 years. But more times than not, the shooting contest is the most intriguing part. The skills competition, that's where dudes are being too cool as well. So yeah, man, I mean, you know, for a game that needs fans and needs oohs and ahs, you need fans and oohs and ahs. And without it, the soundtrack is totally different. It's totally different. But I mean, like you said, it's frivolous. There's not a lot of weight on it. You know, knock yourself out. Hopefully everybody gets out of there healthy. You know, you got Joel Embiid making jokes about his barber contact tracing. Like,
that's funny.
There's a lot going on, man. There's a lot going on, and I'm glad the players seemingly got out of this thing healthy. I'm praying for that city because, you know, I live in different social media worlds than a lot of the people who probably listen to this pod. So I saw and witnessed a lot of things that were going on down there that, frankly, scare the shit out of me. And with a lot of these states opening up now, this is going to be our new normal, I guess. But yeah, man, it was when the mayor is saying, yo, please don't come down here, please. And you see a 20,000 person dome being lit up for a party, because that's, you know, there's a venue called Dome City, and it's a giant dome. And there are couches and everything. And I'm like, they're not going for the game, right? They're going because it's the happening. It's the event. So, you know, I kind of fought with that. But, you know, you're not going to be ultimately safe if you don't have a season, right? Like, that's the only way to be totally safe. So when you have a season, you should expect that sometimes things like this might happen. I don't think these players did, obviously. But this is how it has to happen. And now we get back to regular work.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say about the All-Star Sunday, which, you know, we don't need to spend a ton more time on this, but I will say is that, you know, this is – we call it frivolous and we are critiquing it, et cetera, and that's all valid. But ultimately, in the day, what matters is what Zach thought of it. And I got to say, man, you know, having been around Zach for as long as I have professionally, he was really, really into it and really, really touched. And it was genuinely appreciative and happy that they had one. And he's been consistent with that from the day, I can't remember, I'm sure it was Woj, you know, first broke, you know, 6 weeks ago that they're even entertaining the idea. And I asked Zach that day after practice, this is a regular off day, you know, hey, if they have one, there's a report that they might have one of these things now, because we all thought there's no way. If they have one, would you be comfortable going? And he was like, yeah, because I know that the NBA would not put us in harm's way. So from a player perspective, I know you have the Embiid-Simmons incident, but, you know, quite frankly, the league's protocols were set up so that there wasn't spread, and so that even if players had that, you know, unfortunate incident happen with their barber, there was no spread. So it was safe from a player standpoint, and you could tell how touched Zach was by, you know, his family being there, and finally being on that stage after years of knocking at the door. So at the end of the day, from a Bulls perspective, that's really all that matters.
100%, 100%. Shout out to Zach. He looked like he was having a good time out there on the floor. Even in the fourth quarter when it was supposed to start to get tight and he was D'ing up Chris Paul, like, that was cool to see. This is the introduction to his star turn, right? Like, this is the moment where you're supposed to get back to these now. You're supposed to keep going back. You shouldn't be Zach LaVine two-time All-Star, right? or one-time All-Star. You should be Zach LaVine going forward, four- or five-time All-Star if this incline, which he's talked about and worked on, obviously, he's worked on his game. If that's the next steps, then, you know, now it's supposed to be routine. Now you're supposed to be showing up, knowing exactly how to feel and what, how to prepare and what contest to get into or what you don't have to do anymore. This is like, this is big boy Zach getting ready to happen here. And I'm, like you said, Casey, I'm happy for him and his family. He said his family was sitting right across the, across from him on the bench. So that was super dope. Like those moments, man, Obi Toppin, you know, bringing his dad out there for the dunk contest. Like I don't give a damn what's going on in that moment. In that singular moment, it's got to feel special. So shout out to Zach and the LaVine family and everybody who helped him get to that point.
And shout out to us for being curmudgeons about it. I'm glad you made that point, Casey, because it's an important one to make. I would have said something about it too. It's Zach was never like, and really, I think most of the players that showed up, there were guys, like you said, Jason, you could tell were a little bit disengaged. But Zach, from the guy that we talk to all the time, was never anything but grateful, was never going to pout about the opportunity or anything like that. It clearly meant a lot to his family. So it was cool to see him there. And in fitting fashion for him, like he was hitting on a lot of those themes that you just touched on, Jason, after the game when we talked to him via Zoom. He was talking about how, all right, well, now that I officially have this All-Star moniker, there's kind of a target on his back a little bit. Like, you know, you're going to get guys best every night if you weren't already. For that reason alone, like you're going up against an All-Star, you know, sometimes it can be made out like these labels don't mean a ton, but they do. And yeah, the focus is now for him on maintaining that stature. And again, fitting for Zach, he talked about how that ties into the team construct too. For the plan of him continuing to get back to these types of things and continue to maintain this level, for that plan to bear out, the Bulls need to continue to improve too. So all those things are baked into it. And yeah, it was just, I thought it was classic and kind of emblematic of his kind of the way that he's kind of approached every step of this in a cool headed way that he touched on all that post game. So that was a good way to tie a bow on it.
And that's where we're at now, right? Because now we get back to business. And now it's, you know, all the things that you learned in the first half of the season or the pre-All-Star portion of the season, how do you apply it? Like the week of defense, the week of no turnovers. I mean, we talked about the install. Now it's the application now. Now you've had an All-Star. We, you know, that part of it can cease now. That part of it, you know, the promotion of Zach being an All-Star, that now is back to basketball. And I appreciate right before the All-Star break, AK and Billy Donovan kind of setting the tempo. Like, this is what it's supposed to be. The expectations have been recalibrated. You see coming out the gate, it's Philadelphia and Miami. Like, this schedule coming up here is going to be something. The Bulls are no longer a cute team. They're on people's radar because you don't want to get beat by them. You don't want to get beat by the Bulls still, right? There's still that, oh, they're the Bulls. But we got to watch out for the Bulls because they play people tough every night, as the record indicates. So, KC, what are you going to be looking forward to as we get back in the swing of things here as the season commences this week?
Well, the big thing I'm going to be focusing on, Jason, I mean, you mentioned the schedule. That's part of it. I mean, it's definitely more loaded this half with premier teams than in that first half. And then, quite frankly, the Bulls don't have a lot of quality wins. They beat the teams that, you know, maybe you on paper you say they're supposed to or at least be competitive with, and they've struggled against winning teams. So here's your chance to kind of take that next step. But the bigger thing is this still remains a young team. And you talk about application. There's not going to be a lot of practice time. This schedule is, like with all teams, is going to be jam-packed, and Billy Donovan is going to be in pacing mode and using film sessions and walkthroughs and things like that to teach and to review and things like that. So how can a young team continue its growth by taking those instances and bringing them into game situations? That's, again, it's good quality opponents. That's going to be a big telltale sign for me is – you know, there's not going to be a lot of practice time. There's not going to be a lot of up and down on off days. There's going to be a lot of rest and recovery and classroom type stuff. And you've got to see these young guys apply that stuff because you've got a good teacher up there. You've got a good teacher sitting up at that front of the room in Billy Donovan and his staff. So that's going to be where I'm going to be focusing is in this compressed schedule, what kind of growth can you see from a young team against some good competition?
Yeah, and to that point, Casey, they're 4-12 this year against teams that are 500 and above. Now, that's not as bad as the infamous, 2-23 mark last year. So kind of like everything that we say when it comes to improvements with this team, everything's relative to last year when it really almost couldn't have been worse for stretches. This year, that's a slightly improved record, but it's not where you want to be. It's one of the lower marks in the East, and it's what's holding them back from being this kind of 1-2 games under 500. Can we be cautiously optimistic about them to kind of breaking through that hump? They're 3-5 in games that are decided by 3 points or less. Obviously, the clutch game stat has been tossed around. I think they're 10-12 in those. Again, these are all things that are improvements from last year, but need to be taken to that next level to be taken a little bit more seriously. So I think that's something that I'll certainly be watching for. And then we just continue to track these little improvement areas that go into that end result, the turnovers, the overfouling on the defensive end, just execution in late game scenarios as kind of general team-wide things with a break to kind of recharge the batteries a little bit. And with the schedule not letting up, I mean, they had 37 and 66 days. I think that was before the Raptors game that was postponed, and now they're going to have to find a slot for that, which is going to be tough. There's another thing to track is kind of if and when postponements start coming through again, how the NBA handles that, or like, are we even going to get to that 72 game mark? But you know, there's no more intense kind of getting thrown into the fire proposition than what the second half has set up for them. As you said, I mean, players have talked about this too. Like the biggest difference in terms of that compressed schedule too, is that the emphasis has to be so much more on film necessarily than practice time. You could still learn a lot and you could still apply a lot from that. But for a young team, it'll be super instructive to see how they do that. So there's a ton to learn about this Bulls team in the second half of the season, even beyond the tentpoles of like the trade deadline, you know, the first week or two that they come out of the gates here, that could matter for that. But there's a ton to learn about these guys, these individual guys. We've talked about the Lauri Markkanen thing. There's another big storyline when he comes back from injury, how he fits into this whole construct. So there's certainly a lot to watch for, even beyond the playoff race, which, you know, they're in the 9 seed, so they're still in the thick of that too.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, but what are you guys, not just the schedule stuff and brushing over, but what are you guys in terms of the rotations? You mentioned Lauri Markkanen. Like, what's most important to you? Like, the most important guy, not named Zach LaVine. Like, as we boil it down here, we don't have to do the bold prediction stuff that we did at the beginning of the season with the preseason predictions, I should say, that you brought up, Rob, last week or so. But, like, what – the Lauri thing truly – intrigues me because, one, you got a guy who's trying to prove his earnability to the rest of the league, right? So how does that not cross purpose, but how does that affect, you know, how you go about it in the team dynamic as well? Like, you know, Lauri Markkanen is working for Lauri Markkanen Inc. as well as the Bulls right now, and he's trying to get back from injury, and he's trying to gel and get back into a situation where guys seemingly offensively, it hadn't been the issue, although, you know, we've seen some moments where the offense has stagnated a little bit. But I think the Lauri Markkanen thing is the most important thing outside of, obviously, Zach staying healthy. And on top of it, like, what Patrick Williams is getting ready to be here. Yeah. Right? Like, we talk about Kobe, and we ride the Kobe wave and the roller coaster, I should say, sometimes. And Kobe's been playing his ass off, you know, in spurts. But there's a certain understanding of what I think Kobe is going to be until he kind of catches that jet stream of comfort where it's like, okay, I'm an NBA player now for a couple of years. This is what I'm settling into. We still got a whole second half of this season to watch that. But for me, it's Patrick Williams because, you know, wondering if he's just deferential in in personality and in game profile, or if he's just understanding that they don't need me to do this, but when you need me, I'm going to knock these shots down and be aggressive. Because seeing him at the four, like I'm sold in a lot of situations where I don't – the same things we saw about his draft profile. Like, he's not going to get big boy down there. He's strong enough to kind of take some things. The pump fake, you know, he's ironed some of those issues out from the first quarter of the season, first, you know, third of the season, whatever. Like, watching what Patrick Williams becomes, because the trajectory for me, like the arc for his rookie season doesn't change because they're winning or because they're competitive. Like, I wanted at the end of this season for him to be getting some shots, right? Trying to figure out what the hell you got in the fourth pick. Now, obviously, if they're battling for a playoff spot, some things are going to have to be manicured a little bit, but I still want to see Patrick Williams reach whatever he's supposed to reach at an end of rookie season and you know, playoff, not playoffs be damned, but I want him to be one of the reasons why you're out here fighting for those playoff spots and not him, you know, putting the kid in the corner because we're out here trying to figure out if we can be the sixth through the eighth seed. Like, I think you can find a way for that, those things to marry themselves and it be harmonious while trying to find out, you know, if you can play important basketball at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jason. And his situation to me kind of dovetails a little bit with Lowry's, in the sense that Patrick's going to be moving back to the three whenever Lowry returns. So, you know, I know he can guard threes or fours and he'll probably get some minutes at four if, you know, but in the starting lineup, it's going to go back to, you know, Lowry at four and Patrick at three. So that's going to be interesting to see how he handles that situation. But to me, it clearly the most important storyline for the second half is Lowry Markkanen, because, you know, I mean, for all the reasons you mentioned, and I'll go into a little bit further detail on one of them. Yeah. Contract year, heading to restricted free agency, played well when he was out there in those 14 games he's out there, but he played well mostly being with the game being reliant on his shot falling. I mean, there wasn't a lot of playing well otherwise if his shot wasn't falling. Can he become a little bit less assist dependent? Can he coexist with Zach LaVine? I do think in those first 14 games there was growth in that department. I think there were several games where those guys played well together at the same time, but that's been an ongoing storyline for this team. So, to me, all eyes are on Lowry Markkanen. I mean, you know what you have in Zach LaVine now. He's an all-star. Kobe, for all ups and downs, you know, a lot more plus than negative. And right, ultimately, you know what he is. He's going to be, whether he's a starter or a reserve, he's a scoring combo guard who's probably going to lean a little bit more towards catch and shoot and scoring ultimately, but can give you some facilitating moments. Thad Young, you know, rock star, you know, glue guy, you know, all that. Satoransky, you know, all these guys. To me, all eyes are on the rookie to some extent, and then the bigger picture. And to me, the way more important one is Lowry Markkanen. That dude needs to ball out here. He needs to stay healthy. Yep. And he was doing it at times before he got hurt. So you want to see that pick up, and you want to see him make an impact in other areas as well. Rob, what do you got?
Yeah, the all-around impact thing to me is huge. And also, you know, you mentioned that so much of his success early in the season, and he was balling out early in the season, was dependent on the shot falling. And it was dependent on the shot falling at percentages that he just hasn't reached over an extended sample size in his career. That's just, you know, the way it is. He was, I think, 51 or 52% from the field, 39.6 from three. Those are, you know, for his career, he's around 43, 44 from the field. And Lee, you know, about average, 35, 36 from three. He was doing that over a 14 game sample size, which is about the equivalent of a month, you know, without going into the February 2019 thing all over again. Like, we've seen Lowry have great months. It's about what comes next. And it's about making sure that that roller coaster doesn't have the same types of extreme peaks and valleys. I mean, that it's, you know, consistent over an extended period of time. So the all-around impact thing is important. I think also if those percentages, they don't have to be 50-40 necessarily, but if they can hold closer to that end of the spectrum than the other, then that tells you a lot about just the growth of his game and the comfort. Because the one thing, you know, his free throw attempts had come back down to earth a little bit. That's usually an indicator of kind of downhill aggressiveness, you know, finishing through contact, things like that, or seeking out contact. Like, that had come a little bit back down to your earth. Obviously, the assist to turnover ratio, I think he had 12 assists to 24 turnovers total. Like, all of those things don't necessarily scream optimistic, but when you watch the games, like, it was clear that he was getting to his spots, getting clean looks, and was more comfortable in Billy Donovan's offense than he was last year. You know, the one thing that the numbers support that he was doing significantly better this year than he had at any other point in his career was cutting, off-ball movement, Now, again, that doesn't do much to help the assist-dependent thing that you mentioned, KC, but it is something that speaks to, okay, there are sustainable elements here to his offensive production. So now we just got to see if they do sustain. Can he stay healthy? That's the other thing. You know, when he comes back, if there's another injury absence in here, you know, knock on wood, like nobody would wish for that. But that, you know, that's another question with him is durability. You know, we haven't really brought up Wendell Carter Jr. here because there isn't that pressing contract, you know, entering restricted free agency deadline on him. But I think for him, staying durable, finding that consistency, especially in his offensive production, because the shooting has been up and down. I think that'll be something to watch. Again, not as pressing as Lowry and not as maybe overarchingly important as the Patrick Williams thing, because we know for a fact that he's going to be here for the long haul in a way that we don't necessarily up and down this roster. But Wendell Carter Jr. is certainly somebody to watch just as a member of this young quote unquote core, how he kind of finishes the season out. If he can get back to being, you know, 100% after he said he was kind of maybe a half a step slow coming back from that, that quad. But if not Lowry, completely agree with you, Jason. I was going to say the same thing. Patrick Williams, especially, you know, moving from the four to the three, they were doing some interesting things with him the last couple games into entering the All-Star break, using him as a roller and pick and roll. That wasn't something that we had really seen from him. We saw it a bit in the Pelicans game, trying to leverage his playmaking, see what he could do in that capacity. And he'll be the most interesting test case of, you know, are we developing? Are we trying to win? The best case scenario being if he can contribute to both and be, you know, rapidly developing and contributing to winning, which I think he certainly has the capacity in him to do it. That would be the best case scenario and a huge, huge pressing thing to watch. And this is something that Billy has said, his teammates have said, that Patrick has said, he can't be eighth on the team in shot attempts. That's just not for a guy with the ceiling that he has and what he has shown for him to be taking. I think it's 8.1 shots per game. That's behind a lot of guys in the rotation that if you're in the front office, if you're a fan, if you're the coach, if you're Pat, you just probably shouldn't be behind. So that to me, if the percentages come down, you know, whatever, if, you know, he embraces these big defensive challenges and there are growing pains, whatever, but that stat to me, that ticking up, would be a huge, huge one that I'd be watching in the second half, pretty much regardless of anything else that happens.
Yeah, shoot the ball. Ain't nobody going to be mad at you. You know what I mean? Hey, two games below 500, which you're not shooting the damn ball. Shoot the ball, maybe something else will happen, you know? And I hate to put that on him because he's 19, but he got it in him, right? Like, we talk about players on this team because for the most part, they all seem like dudes who are hardworking. They're a bunch of young cats as well, a few veterans in there who have been like designated the professional veterans. So yeah, we can say this, like, hey man, shoot the ball. We looking forward to you shooting the ball. The same thing I said about Lowry at the beginning of the season. Like, I wanted to see the bad shots and him taking, you know, more aggressive stances on the offensive end. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it and seeing what Lowry can do, and you know, whatever's gonna happen with OP. Whatever's going to happen with Otto Porter Jr. up until March 25th, you know, Blake Griffin is a Brooklyn Net. Boy, I tell you, man, one day we're going to really talk about how scared Kevin Durant is of LeBron James. LeBron James beat LeBron. Yes. LeBron James won against a Golden State Warriors outfit, and all of a sudden, KD was like, I could jump on that team and get myself a championship and make it super. Then LeBron James goes out here and drags that moribund Lakers franchise to another championship. And then, all of a sudden, Kevin Durant playing with Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Blake Griffin now, you know, might be Andre Drummond, Curly Neal, Pee Wee Kirkland, whoever you want to bring out there to play in Brooklyn. We see you, KD. We see what you're doing out here.
We don't see any. That's you. And
team, Bulls Talk Podcast, KC Johnson, Rob Shea. Now, you always want to detach yourself when shit ain't sweet. We're about to have a war with the Brooklyn Nets and KD right now. How about that?
I wish this one was on YouTube so that people could have seen me almost fall out of my chair when that one came.
Hey, KD, I was just playing, man. My name is Rob Schaefer. You can hit me up on Twitter at any point in time. You know, my mom just had a birthday. All right, so we got to do our points bet here. So it was what the odds on the Bulls making the playoffs. Shout out to Points Bet, by the way. It's the best gaming app out there to add a little excitement to whatever you need to do on a nightly or weekly basis. You got the name of bet feature at Points Bet app. They're the peeps. They're the family. They're the crew. You know. So shout out to Points Bet. So Rob, what's the exact bet so I don't send anybody off?
So it's plus 325 that the Bulls make the playoffs right now. And so obviously that pegs them as not necessarily a favorite to hold on and break into this top eight in the East, because I'm assuming just based on the way the NBA is defining the playoffs this season, I'm assuming that that means not the play-in. Like, you have to win out through the play-in, make the playoffs. That's how they're deciding. Lottery position this year, it's a matter of not if you crack that top eight in the regular season. You have to be there when the first round of the best of seven start, being in there. So obviously PointsBet doesn't necessarily see the Bulls as a favorite. It's decent value if you're a believer that this team is going to ride the waves of the second half schedule and kind of break through here eventually. I at this point, we've seen enough that I don't necessarily feel like it's a stretch that they'll end up in that 9 or 10 spot. It just gets to a point at worst, I should say. But it just gets to a point of what's that matchup going to be. Everything is so clumped together in the Eastern Conference right now. Like, do you end up with a team that's maybe a little bit more perceived to be on their level in Atlanta and Indiana, a Charlotte, like teams like that? Or do you end up with one of the Knicks if they come down to earth a little bit? Or do you end up with one of these kind of weird semi-lame duck teams like the Celtics, the Raptors, who just haven't had the seasons that they were expected to have coming in? And then, oh my God, all of a sudden they're in the 7, 8, 9 spot and in a, you know, basically single elimination proposition. They kind of wake up and they're not necessarily a team that's commensurate with their record. So it'd be interesting to see. It's decent value if you're a believer, but there are a lot of hurdles, not just the second half schedule, but also that play-in round that kind of factor into them, you know, officially becoming a playoff team when it's all said and done.
Well, we can get the Wizards, Cavs, Magic, Pistons out of this, right? I mean, those teams are dead in the water.
Oh, Wizards. No. 8 of 11 going into the break. I'm
starting to come on with it, yeah.
I'm not writing the Wizards off by a long time.
And before the season, I had them above the Bulls.
You think the Wizards are going to sustain? They've had a good
week. I'm not saying they're going to. I'm just not writing them off.
I don't think they're going to. I think this was a – I don't see that team playing 500 basketball in the second half. I don't. I know they play – I know, what, 7 of the last 10? You know, I going into the All-Star break, very aware. I do not see that team playing, one, good enough defense, and two, I mean, Bradley Beal's got very little to play for. If they're in the playoff hunt, fine. The two games worse right now, I believe, than – hey, let me look at the standings. They are – yeah, they're 2 games down in the win column versus the Hawks. So they're only 1 game behind the Hawks at 14-20.
So that's for the 11 spot. They would take them. They're 2 games back of getting up to the Bulls and Raptors level of being in that 8 to 9 range. I don't know.
I'm not riding out with a team that's 5-14 at home. I can't.
Well, home court advantage this year. I mean, I'm not.
I understand. It doesn't mean as much, but I mean,
yeah.
Teams are coming in DC and doing well. So I could be wrong. The Wizards can make some kind of run. Next thing you know, they're in there, you know, beating people up. I just don't see it, especially defensively. I don't see them being sustainable in the second half. So if you got the Hawks, who just had a coaching change, you've got the Pacers, who are always an interesting team, Bulls and Raptors and Hornets in that little 4-pack, 7 through 11. I don't think the Bulls are a crazy bet, right? Obviously, with the odds, I think they're a decent bet. But, you know, all these teams are jumbled up. The Raptors obviously have the pedigree. They've just been hurt, right? There are times when Pascal and Fred VanVleet and a whole bunch of guys aren't on the court, and they're just trying their best. I mean, Nick Nurse was out, for God's sake. So yeah. If you're the Bulls, you'd like to stay, you know, in that Hornets section, right? Like, you'd like the fact – LaMelo's playing his ass off. That Hornets thing is fun. But, you know, I'd rather see the Hornets than the Raptors or obviously the Heat or, like you said, the Knicks, who are just going to be tough because that's what Tibbs is engineering over there. So I don't think it's a bad bet, Casey.
The other interesting thing with the Raptors is I don't know what the veracity of these rumors is, but there is like a lot of buzz going around about Kyle Lowry. Oh, could they look to offload him? Like that's something that would effectively take them out of this clump if that were to happen. That might be something interesting to look at that for them.
Yeah, that's why, you know, you got the trade deadline in 2.5 weeks. So that could certainly affect some playoff implications or have some playoff implications. So, yeah, if I'm not a gambler, but if I were to gamble, this is a pretty good value, it seems like, if you're a Bulls believer. So there you go. Go to whatever the site is called. PointsBet
Sportsbook. Yeah. PointsBet Sportsbook, our favorite app here on the Bulls Talk podcast.
And real quick, because you mentioned a birthday before, Jason, this is the last taping that we will do with Zach Levine as a 25-year-old. He turns 26 on Wednesday. So the guy's getting long in the tooth, can't even do the dunk contest anymore. So.
Happy birthday, old man.
I think he's still okay with the vertical action, but Zach's 46, and just tying this all up in a bow before we get up out of here soon, as Jason likes to say. But tying it all up in a bow, I mean, you know, 26, you're entering your prime here in the NBA, and it goes back to what you said and what Zach voiced as well. This should not be a one-stop shop. He should be back at that game every damn year. If he's going in the right direction, the Bulls are going in the right direction, this should be a perennial thing. That's what you need to believe if you're a Bulls fan, and that's what Zach LaVine, I know, believes and has voiced it publicly. So 26 years old, I do not remember those days, but happy 26-year-old days to you, Zach LaVine.
Yeah. So. Happy birthday to Zach from the Bulls Talk podcast. And a lot of those dudes he was on the court with yesterday who are his age, all they've done is win, right? Like the Jason Tatums and the Jaylen Browns, who are in the similar age group, and he's obviously older than them, a couple years older than them, a few years older than them actually now. But they've been in big games, and they've won. You know, they've been in big, on big stages, right? Jason Tatum was the, you know, he was the next, you know, anti-LeBron or the next, you know, antagonist for LeBron, right? I mean, so now what has to happen is not only those All-Star games, but Zach got to find himself on the stage. And that runaway begins, what, Wednesday night? So looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to what this second half is going to bring. Because I remember what last year's was. And boy, oh boy, was it a march? So looking forward to, literally, it's a march now, but it's the month of March. Hopefully this won't be the march that last year's second half was, and I don't think it will because his team is getting a little bit healthier. And now we get to find out the real compete levels, right, boys? Because now teams are like, okay, second half now, start to try to figure out how we're going to position ourselves in playoffs. Oh, the Bulls are in town. They're not a team that we can take lightly anymore. So looking forward to seeing what these guys have in store. Looking forward to Billy Donovan's press conferences and more chats like this with my guys. So for Rob Schaefer and Casey Johnson and the amazing people at Points Bet Sportsbook. And by the way, Tony Gill, shout out to Tony. Tony is doing management things. That's why he couldn't jump on with us, but he's there in the background lurking. For all of our guys, we thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is the Bulls Talk Podcast. Have a great, great day, night, whenever you're listening. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next time. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and your smart speakers out there. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us because you know you love us. New episodes ready every Tuesday and Friday morning. But until then, take care of each other and be safe.